goodness this morning and His grace in our life. We're looking again this morning at Isaiah chapter 53. We started on Sunday, August the 30th, preaching through this great chapter of the Word of God. And we have just been going to it each Sunday morning when the Lord would give us liberty. There were several weeks where we done it in a row. And then there were some times where the Lord had different messages on our heart. And we went that direction. But as I was praying last night about which direction to go, the Lord said we need to go back by Calvary this morning. By the way, this ain't going to be the last time I preach on it. You can bet your bottom dollar on that. It's always good for the people of God to come by Calvary. And at least, you know, Billy Mitchell always said you ought to preach on sin at least once a day. And I believe you ought to preach on Calvary at least once a day too. By the way, you can't preach on Calvary without talking about my sin. And I'm glad for His love. Isaiah 53, and I'm going to read the whole chapter this morning. I usually just read to the verse I'm preaching to, but I'm preaching verse 12 this morning. So let's read the entire text. 700 years before the Lord was born in Bethlehem, the prophet Isaiah said, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. He hath carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to our own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the rich and with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief, and when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his day, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." And verse 12 is our text this morning. Therefore. And that word, therefore, in light of all of what was said in the text, in light of verses 1 through 11 and really verses 13 through 15 of chapter 52, in light of all of that, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul in the death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Lord, I love you this morning because you first loved me. Thank you for Calvary this morning. Lord, as we walk back by this morning, break our hearts afresh and anew. Lord, may it make a difference in our lives. May we love you and serve you, Lord, as we look at this text. Lord, may that be incentives, Lord, to want to draw closer to you in these days. Help us, God, this morning. We are in great need of thee. We'll love you and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We have literally preached not just verse by verse, but literally phrase by phrase through Isaiah 53. I love Bible preaching. I love hearing Bible preaching, and I love preaching the Bible. Just letting God say to us what He wants to out of the Holy Scriptures. We have preached out of this text. We preached out of verse 1 on or verse number 13 through 15 on "Till you've known the love of God." Talked about that servant. We talked about in chapter 53, verse 1, who hath believed our report. We talked about in verse number 2, how the world, they just don't know who he is. They said there is no beauty we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. We talked about, hallelujah, what a Savior. Surely has borne our griefs. I preached on Jesus died for me. And on and on through the text we preached about in verse 5 about the wounding, how he was bruised, the suffering of Christ. In verse 6 we talked about how we are sheep that go astray, and all through the text. And when we come to verse 12, the word therefore compiles all of the thoughts of Isaiah and all the inspiration of the Holy Ghost into one phrase. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great and with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul in the death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. As we come to this closing verse of the pearl of the prophets this morning, and when I read that word therefore, and when I studied out the context of what we're talking about here in Isaiah 53 verse number 12, I had a thought in my heart, a song we actually sing in the choir. I want to preach on this thought this morning. Victory was won at Calvary. That word therefore ties it all together in the text. Because he was willing to suffer, because he was willing to die, because he was willing to be beaten, victory was won at Calvary. I'm glad we're not walking around defeated this morning, but I'm glad we have the victory, not because of anything we've done, but because of what Jesus done when he died at Calvary. I tell you, the world looks at us and the world looks at Calvary and they see it as a failure. They see it as a waste of time. But those of us who taste of the goodness of God, and those of us been washed in the red blood of Calvary, we know that our victory, we know our satisfaction, we know that our joy, we know our peace, we know our contentment was purchased and found it at Calvary. I bless his name this morning. Three things in the text today. First of all, we find the dividing of the spoil. He says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Now as I begin to read this and begin to study after men, I saw three things in this little phrase. First of all, we note the adversary in this phrase. Notice the words great and strong. This is a reference to the enemy. This is a reference to the wicked one. This is a reference to the devil. He is known as the strong one. I'll be mentioning that again in a moment. But why is the devil against Jesus Christ? There is an indifference ever since the Garden of Eden, really even before that, when Satan was cast out of heaven because of his pride and his rebellion. Brother Billy Kelly said that began the battle of the ages. His indifference, but then his intentions. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible said be sober and to be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy my life and he wants to destroy your life. May I remind you, 1 Peter 5:8 was not written to lost people. It was written to believers. We still have an adversary out there. We still have an enemy out there that wants to kill us and destroy us and wreck our families and wreck our homes and wreck our ministries, Brother Charles. There is the adversary in this text. But then notice the accomplishment in this text. Notice that little word, divide. He said, divide the spoil with a portion with the great, and divide the spoil with the strong. That word divide means that the enemy had it, but now they don't have it. It was divided from him. It was taken from him. He once had it. I wish I had somebody. He once had it in his control, but he don't have it no more. Because, hey man, I hope you pick up what I'm laying down. Because victory was won at Calvary. There was a division made. The devil had my soul, and he had your soul. But there at Calvary, a division was made. Over in Luke, Jesus talks about that Luke 11, verse 21, when a strong man, armed, keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. He said that strong man has his goods in his palace, and he's at peace. He's got everything. But verse 22 said, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all of his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. Can I say an application this morning? The devil was a strong man, and he had my soul, and he had your soul. I couldn't get out on my own. You couldn't get out on your own. He was a strong man. But thank God there was a stronger man in the person of Jesus Christ. And when he showed up, he divided the spoils. He defeated the enemy, and he walked out with me in his hand, thank God. That reference there is a reference also to the resurrection of Christ. Colossians chapter number 2 said he blotted out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which is contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's Calvary. That's my salvation. But it didn't stop there, Brother Tony. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. You know what happened at Calvary? Jesus won. But then he took the spoils. He took me and he took you. And you know what he's done? He and the Bible said he triumphed before them openly. The Bible said he made a show of them openly. In other words, he looked at them and said, look what I done. Look how I made a difference in his life. Look, I got what you once had, but you don't have him no more. He once was in your grip. He once was in your grasp, but I've got him now. He's in my hand, and he won't be able to pluck out of my Father's hand. Jesus said, I'm right, I'm secure in Christ. Bible said in Isaiah that he'd make us a royal diadem in the hand of God. You know who I am this morning? I'm nothing more than a trophy of God's amazing grace. You know what a trophy's for? It's to show off an accomplishment. And I can't help but wonder every once in a while, God takes me in his hand and he sticks me under the devil's nose and said, you once had him, but I got him now. He wasn't much when you had him, but look what I've done with him. I've made him a new creature. I've washed him in the blood. I put the Spirit of God in him. I put him in the family of God. He made a show of them openly. He takes Charles Allen and sticks him under the devil's nose, saying, when you had him, he was a drunk. When you had him, he was a sot and on his way to hell. But now, look what I've done with him. Up there singing in the choir. Up there taking up the offering. Up there giving a testimony. Look what I've done with him. He takes old Richie and said, the devil, when you had him, he is a lost sinner and lost without God. But now, put a Bible in his hand. Put a call to preach on his life. Look what I've done with him. I tell you, AA couldn't do that. The seven steps couldn't do that. But one step to Calvary and one washing in the blood of Christ, he divided the spoil, thank God. The accomplishment. The Bible said, in fact, that death and resurrection, they said, had the prince of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. When Jesus on this earth, they mocked him, and they bruised him, and they scourged him, and they spit on him, and they tortured him, but they made a mistake. They lifted him up. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Hey, the devil may have some power, but he don't have all power. And he didn't know it all. He thought, I got to kill Jesus. I got him killed, get him killed. But oh, he didn't see the resurrection. He didn't see what would happen. And had he known that, he would have done everything he could to keep him alive. But I'm so glad when God pulls one on the devil and God makes a show of him open. Openly. Amen. That's right. There is the adversary and the accomplishment. But then there's the acquisition, the portion, and the spoils. To me, portion and spoils sound like something that's valuable. Sounds like the spoils of victory. So I said, preacher, what were the spoils of Calvary? Well, preacher, you ain't much. Yeah, you're right. And there wasn't nothing good in me. Somebody said, well, Jesus saw something in you worth saving. No, he didn't. There wasn't nothing in you worth saving. I'm sorry, Peg McCamey. I know you sang the song. He saw something in me worth saving. You struck out on that one. There wasn't nothing in me worth saving.
Right.
Somebody said, well, God saw that spark of good in me. There ain't no spark of good in you. The Bible says none good, no, not one.
Right.
There's some good in you. That means you had a part in it. But I had no part. And see, Brother Michael, if there was something good in me, he would have had a reason to love me. But there was nothing good in me. He had no reason to love me. He just chose to love me. And you know what Paul said? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What was the joy? It was me. It was you. We were the joy. We're the portion. We're the spoil, thank God. Thank God. I am not worth anything, but he thought I was worth Calvary. Find the dividing of the spoil, that acquisition. Remember in the book of Ruth, chapter number 4? Or is that near a kinsman that could have redeemed Ruth? Could have. But Brother Larry, he didn't want Ruth. He wanted that land. But Boaz wasn't interested in the land. Boaz is interested in Ruth. And when he made that possession, Brother Richie, Boaz said, be it known for of y'all, I bought all that was Mahlon's and all that was Chilion's and all that was Elimelech's. He said, but moreover, he said, don't care about all that. Moreover, I have purchased Ruth the Moabitess to be my wife. He said, yeah, I got the land, I got all that, but let me tell you what I'm really excited about. I got a bride. I got a bride. Hey, I'll tell you, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He owns it all. But I'll tell you what the portion was. I'll tell you what the spoil was. It was the bride he was redeeming. It was the church he wanted to save, thank God. Y'all getting a hold of this? There's the dividing of the spoil. But then we find also the disposing of his soul. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death. This simply means he gave his all. When something is poured out, that means all the contents within that container is being poured out freely. Why did he give his all? I believe he gave his all because of the passion for sinners. I was at Brother David Shelton's Monday night, was privileged to kick off their Jubilee, and I stayed over for the Tuesday morning service, and Brother McBride preached the final message, and a wonderful job. I'll tell you, after I hear Brother McBride preach, I want to hand in my ordination papers. I'm like, if that's preaching, I ain't never done it before. And just a great preacher. We were standing in line together. It's when you called me. We was actually sitting at the table eating. He was talking. He said, I read this the other day. I thought it was good. I said, tell me. And he said, I've always preached that God created man. I think I told you this. God created man so he'd have somebody to fellowship with him and somebody that would love him. He said, but this man said, God created man because he wanted somebody to give to and to be good to. When he said that, a chord struck in my heart, because that's what love is. The angels, they don't need anything. But he wanted to be good to somebody. They didn't have anything on their own. He loved me, and thank God he loves you this morning. There's a little Bible for that. We love him because he first loved us. The passion for sinners, but he gave his all because of the provision of salvation. He wanted us to be saved. He wanted us to be redeemed. He wanted us to be reconciled. And I believe also he said this because of the process of sanctification. The Bible said in Romans 8 that we are being conformed to the image of his dear son. One day I'm going to look just like him. I'll be perfect and holy. I won't have this flesh anymore. I won't have this sin nature anymore. I preached all morning to get to this third point. The dividing of the spoil. He said, therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. The disposal of his soul, because he has poured out his soul in the death. But then there is the delight of the saved. And he was numbered with the transgressors. Let's just talk about that verse. That's the perceived association. We preached about this a couple of verses ago. When he was hung on that cross, Brother William, he hung with those transgressors, those sinners, and was on the same level with them. I've quoted this 100 times in this series. I'm going to quote it again this morning. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm glad God didn't mind getting his hands dirty. God got his hands dirty 3 times in the Bible. Genesis chapter 2, done it to form a man, to create a family. And in Exodus chapter 20, he got his hands dirty when he wrote the law. But in John 8, they brought that woman caught in the very act of adultery. And I'm not trying to be crude or rude, but they caught in the very act. She wasn't very modestly attired that day. She's cast open shame. And they said, Moses and the law commanded her to be stoned. What they didn't know is Jesus wanted to wrote that law. But what say ye? He didn't say nothing. He just kept on writing. Somebody said, why did he write in the sand? I don't know. And neither does any preacher that said they know. I'm just glad he's still writing. I'm glad he wrote another chapter. And it was a chapter called grace and a chapter called mercy. And God didn't mind getting his hands dirty one more time to get down there with that sinner. By the way, when I say he didn't mind getting his hands, he didn't defile himself. But he elevated that sinner. Amen, that's right. The perceived association, he was numbered with the transgressors. Then notice this, the perpetual atonement. And he bare the sin of many. Now these Calvinists want to take this verse and say, see, Bible said he bare the sin of many. Not all. Well, if them dumbos would keep reading in the Bible, 1 John 2:2 says that he is a propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. You see, the Bible will always complement the Bible. It's not a contradiction. That's a further revelation. Isaiah just had the in part. But there, after Calvary was taking place, John said, I'll tell you right now, he's the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. He's going to take away the sin of the world. By the way, I'm glad I'm one of the many that believed, amen. But I'm interested, and I'm closed this morning. His perceived association, he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many, the perpetual atonement. The Son of Man died at the hands of the Son of God, died at the hands of the sons of men, so the sons of men could become the sons of God. But I'm interested in this phrase, and made intercession for the transgressors. We not only notice his perceived association, his perpetual atonement, but his position as advocate. He made intercession for the transgressors. Why do I need an advocate? Well, because there's an arbitrator. There is a judge. We was walking through the mall last night. I tell you, I always knew people were crazy, but I've never seen what I saw last night at the mall. I'm talking about just a little bit of everything. I saw the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s. The mullet is back. Tony, you ought to grow you one. Amen. I'm just telling you. The mullet is back. That's all I do with a mullet. I'm like, man, party like it's 1999. God bless you, man. I'm just this weird stuff. We walked by this one store, and they had a hat sitting in the window that said, only God can judge me. I told my wife, I said, you had to be stupid to buy that hat. And considering the other paraphernalia they had in that store, that was a perfect customer for that hat. Yeah, God is the judge. And God is going to judge. But I'd rather Brother Michael judge me. Everybody, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. I wish you would. Because you can, but Tony, you don't know everything bad about me. Come on now, talk to me now. But there's a God in heaven that knows all and sees all. And we'll judge all. There's an arbitrator. There's also, I need an advocate because there's an accuser in this court. The Bible said in Revelation 12, he's the accuser of the brethren. And this accuser's got accusations. And they are all true. Josh Montgomery's a liar. Josh Montgomery's a thief. Josh Montgomery's wicked. So I said, preacher, you confess your sin? Well, the Bible said if you've broken the commandment in one, you're guilty of them all. It's a messed up crowd. Guilty of them all. I've never drank before, but I'm still a sinner. Amen. I've never done any of that before. By the way, drinking's still a sin, by the way. Amen, that's right. It's all that stuff. Don't let me preach on sin. I will. Don't bother me one bit. Barney Fife went out the door that morning, looked at the preacher. That's one subject you can't preach on enough, sin. And the preacher didn't even talk about sin that day. Barney slept, but it's still a great point. Preached on, what's your hurry? Oh, yeah, I got to leave that alone. You remember that. But I'm still guilty. You know what he says? Montgomery's lazy. Amen to that. He don't read his Bible like y'all do. You mean you saved him? He don't read his Bible and pray? All that stuff. He's accusations, but then that's where my advocate comes. Because everything the accuser's saying is right. Everything he's saying is right. See, some of you don't want to admit that he's right, but he is. He ain't got to make anything up. We give him so much ammunition. You know, it used to be preachers would have to spot preach. What I mean by that is we just have to preach and just preach on sin, and if it hits somebody. Now they post it on Facebook. We get like, you know, a sneak peek. Hey, don't get mad at me for preaching on your sin when you post it on Facebook. If you're brave enough to post it, I'm brave enough to preach it, bless God. Amen. Shouldn't be so goofy. Amen. But anyway, I mean, you know, you should just let me rely on the Spirit instead of giving me all the help you give me, all right? Amen. Hey. Come on now. Help me out now. It's supposed to be a sweet message. Well, you one of them people wanting God only to judge you. Yeah. I ain't judging. I'm going to say what the judge said. Amen. This is supposed to be a good point, but y'all are. Amen. That advocate steps before me and says, Your Honor. It's a courtroom scene. And you know what? He does not offer, well, you know, Montgomery, you know, he does make mistakes. He doesn't offer that. There's only one thing that gives me a standing before God, and that's the red blood of Calvary that gives me a standing before God. And when the judge sees that evidence, he says he's not guilty. I mean, he's guilty, but his crime's been paid for. I didn't have to pay for my sin. I didn't have to pop a do-better pill or get my way to heaven. But I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation of my sin, not for ours only, but for the sin of the whole world. Jesus paid it all. Points at that mercy seat and said, there's the payment. You know what? I'm acquitted in that courtroom. And the accuser one day is going to be abolished from that courtroom. God's going to say, I've heard about enough out of you. All you've done is yep, 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 yep. All you've done is run your mouth. We're going to cast you out for all eternity. By the way, there's no appeals in this courtroom. We won't be coming back for an appeal because Calvary was enough and Jesus was enough and the blood was enough this morning. What a text this is. Isaiah 53. I hope Bible preaching does not bore you, because if we have spent 13 messages walking through Isaiah 52 verse 13 through Isaiah 53 verse 12, and we have looked at Calvary, what should our response be? I'm done with this. Look at the first word of Isaiah 54. In light of Calvary and in light of what he done, the next word is sing. To sing means you got a song in your heart. To sing means you have a joy in your spirit. And it's not a wicked worldly song. It's a song of deliverance. It's a song of joy. That's why God said, enter into his courts of praise, to his gates with thanksgiving, singing to him, be thankful and bless his name. We got a song to sing this morning. And in verse 2, he said, enlarge. You ought to praise him, and then you ought to do something for him. And then he said in verse 4, fear not. In light of everything in Isaiah 53, y'all be singing, y'all be doing more, and don't be afraid. But preacher, did you see what happened on the news this week? No. I really didn't. I don't care. He can sign an executive order till he's blue in the face. He don't know what he's signing either. I don't care. I'm going to sing. And I'm going to enlarge the stakes of my tent. And I'm not going to fear. Because victory was won at Calvary. Victory that gave me liberty. I mean, God, I know preacher, what are we going to do? I guess we're going to have to believe God. I guess we're just going to have to trust that he's enough. He's enough this morning. Let the storm winds blow. Let hell rage and let it roll. Victory is won at Calvary. I am more than a conqueror through him that loved us this morning. Isaiah 53 ought to affect our walk. We ought to walk different after walking through Isaiah 53. It ought to affect our ways. We ought to do different. It ought to affect our will. We ought to do God's will. It ought to affect our wants. It ought to affect our words. And it ought to have an effect on our worship. You know why I announce, it's on our sign, and I'm not being critical of that. Lord willing, I'd like to get a, y'all pray with me. I got so many plans and dreams God put in my heart. I want us to get us a nice steeple to put up on top of the church. With a big old cross on top and light shining on it where people can see. And I want to do that. And maybe, Lord willing, we're going to do some updates right here in the future. I got so many things I want to do. But you know why, when we get a new sign, I'm going to put preaching service at 11 o'clock. Because I don't want to get sued for false advertisement and by putting worship service. Because how many times we come in this building and we don't worship? And I'll tell you, when we don't worship is when we've not had the proper perspective and proper view of Calvary.
Right.
I could start next Sunday morning, Miss Delaney, and start in Isaiah 52, verse 13 through 15, and start the whole series all over again and preach it for another 6 months and still wouldn't get it all told. But I hope this little walk through has let us see Calvary like we've never seen it before. It ought to affect the way I look at sin. It ought to affect the way I conduct myself. I don't have to live in sin. I may have to live around sin, but sin ain't got to live in me. Because victory was won at Calvary. Thank God we have it this morning. Let's stand together. I appreciate your attention. I preached 30 minutes. Thank you for your attention this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed.